And welcome back to Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Max, Sean Daly. Call me a White Sox fan. Call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. And welcome back to the program. It's Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock p.m. If you're in Chicago at the United Center watching the World Series, or if it's 10 o'clock on the East Coast in New York crying over your beer because your beloved Yankees didn't make it. And I want to thank you all for joining us, all three of you. All three of us are probably right in the chat room. Now, everybody's listening. The listenership is still up, but you can go into the chat room from lvrocks.com to click on Cam and Chat to join us in there. And the program is podcasted on lvrocks.com. Go over to the left-hand side of the screen, click on Podcasts, and take you over to where all the podcasts, all the programs that are podcasts in LV Rocks are held. And the email address for the program is subject to number 2. Discussion at lvrocks.com, and the program is archived over at spankwagon.net, and their show is on Fridays at 7 o'clock here on lvrocks.com. And starting tomorrow night is the Rebel Poetry Spoken Word program live, I guess it's live, on lvrocks.com at 10 o'clock Pacific, and they're going to be heard every Monday and Thursday at 10 o'clock Pacific time on lvrocks.com. So a bunch of poets will be on here. So, and tonight, tonight's guest, the first guest in a little bit will be Bill Roggio of BillRoggio.com. He's the founder of the Fourth Rail, and also BillRoggio.com, EastonGate.com, War, Truth, and Videotape, and he writes for WindsOfChange.net and is often featured on the front page magazine's War Blog. And he is a military man himself. He enlisted in the U.S. Army in January of 91 during Desert Storm. Served in the Army from as a signalman from 95-97 in New Jersey. National Guard as an infantryman, and on active duty, he attended Airborne School, 22nd Engineer Brigade, and 1st Special Operations Command at Fort Bragg, and with the 20th Signal Brigade in Germany. So he's also served with the 114th Infantry Battalion. So it'll be interesting talking to him. And then in the second hour, we'll have Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfin blog with our political report. Of course, the irons are hot for the indictments coming down probably tomorrow in the Plame scandal, so we're waiting for that. Maybe Justin will have some updates about that scandal ready to break open in Washington. And then at the end of the program will be Glenn Roberts. He's IAmMyOwnReporter.com. He's an expert on Cuba and Latin America, and he's have done several tours of visiting Cuba, so it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. And then next week, Colin Bazell. He's the author of the book My War, about his tour of duty in Iraq. He'll be on, so it'll be interesting talking to him. And, of course, first of all, I want to talk about the aftermath of Wilma Flintstone, the hurricane. My mother is down in Naples, and they don't have any power down there. There's no water, so it sounds like they're having a really hard time getting the supplies down there. The trucks that they sent down there apparently all got lost somehow. They didn't give them a map or didn't send them to AAA. I'm not sure, but the trucks never made it. So,
hey, Sean.
Huge problem.
Wasn't there a mandatory evacuation in those areas?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, why are they still there?
I don't know. I don't know. My mother got out, but I don't know why the idiots didn't get out. But Bush says, Jeb Bush, he said if they didn't get out, they had 72 hours to either get out or load up on supplies. They didn't do either of them. So he's not feeling too sympathetic towards those people in Florida. So good for him. I mean, you got the warning, you know, get the hell out of there. I don't understand why these people didn't. And then, of course, said Rosa Parks passed away this week. Man, she really affected civil rights. I mean, she triggered the whole thing with the willing to go to the back of the bus quietly, and she stood up by sitting down. I mean, good for her. I mean, good. You know, it's sad to see her go, but boy, she really made a difference more than some of the other blowhards we see on TV pounding the drums about civil rights. And then, of course, we got the indictments coming down pretty soon in the Plame case. It should be probably tomorrow or Friday. And then the White Sox are poised to sweep the Houston Astros in the World Series. So it's going to be great. That city's going to go up for grabs when the White Sox win the World Series. That city, Chicago, is going to go absolutely insane. They will.
Hey, you think they're going to have riots?
Oh, absolutely. That's why the Sox want to finish it off in Houston. They want to go back to Chicago. So you know these fans are going to storm the field. That's how all the fans, even when the Bulls won it, the fans trashed the city.
I don't understand that. I've never understood that my whole life. Why do they flip cars over, flip
Luke
over
stores.
Police cars? burn their own neighborhoods because a sports team won.
I don't know. I don't know. It'll be even worse if they lose, so they better win this because I hate to see the city if they lose this. But, you know, but it's coming. I hope they take it in Houston. That way the ballpark in Chicago won't get trashed. So we'll see what happens. And so we're moving on to the news to you until our guest comes. I'm trying a new format here with a staple in my paperwork because usually at the end of the program I'm scrambling to get at my paperwork before Amber comes in. So we'll see how this goes, this new technology called a staple.
You're going to be so lost.
I am. This is taking me out of my element here. Little organization here. Wait a minute here. I got so many things for Rojo when he calls
page
in.
Page one on page one.
Well, no, I'm saving the front steps for my interview segment. I'm finishing
the
news.
Well, that should have been second.
Whatever. The Muppets. I'm opening with the Muppets. There you go. The Muppets may return to primetime TV. This was yesterday. The Muppets could come back to primetime television and get a little of this in their own reality show. ABC has ordered a script and 5 episodes outlined for America's Next Muppet. In which viewers may join in choosing the newest member of the puppet family that includes Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy. The premise has the ring of such shows as American Idol, No Kidding, or America's Top Model, in which the audience picks the potential stars of the Muppets. So we'll see what happens there. And then CNN canceled Daybreak, their morning, early morning news program. CNN has canceled its Daybreak program and expanding the American Morning program, which has two people hosting with the same last name, Soledad O'Brien and Miles O'Brien. Yeah. I think Conan O'Brien's coming out there next week. And then they're canceling the program, and the lady that hosts it, Carol Costello, she's been doing she'll be reading the news on CNN's American Morning program. So, if you remember, her and that weatherman on her, Chet, got into it one time. I guess she kept cutting him off, apparently, and he blew up on the air. And ever since then, the two of them have really gotten along very well.
I think I saw a clip of that.
Yeah, they've been strained since then, I think. Because you see him bantering back and forth. You tell she's afraid to say anything because he might go off. Because she's, oh, no, hi, thank you, Chet. She's always saying, thank you, Chet. And what else? I also got this from analysts are seeing a shell game in war fund. Eager to show support for American troops fighting overseas, Congress is on the verge of setting up to $50 billion in emergency spending to help pay for Iraq and Afghanistan wars next year. But as much as 5% of that fund may not go to war costs at all, according to an outside budget analyst. Instead, they say Congress is using the emergency bill, known as a bridge fund, to rescind cuts that it proposed in the Pentagon's regular budget. So now these clowns in Capitol Hill, they cut the budget, yet now they're going to put all the money back in this other bill. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is a shell game. The shift of programs to the bridge fund is just one of the behind-the-scenes maneuvers in what critics call the shell game, that is the Pentagon's 2006 budget, which lawmakers are finishing now. Oh, man, this is makes you sick. I mean, the conflicts have cost more than $350 billion. The Senate and Congress and the House have approved a version of the 2006 spending bill. So basically, they're cutting the bill, but they're not really cutting it because they're going to put the money back in these discretionary spending account bills that they're going to pass to refund, replenish the cuts that they're made. This is an example. About $10 billion to pay for veterans' medical costs has disappeared from the Senate version of the bill, for example. Instead, it has been foisted on the U.S. Treasury, allowing the Senate to claim its version of the Pentagon budget is $7 billion below what the White House requests of $397 billion. So it's not really cut at all. They're just putting the veterans' medical costs, are putting that over on the U.S. Treasury's budget. Amazing, amazing that they're getting away with this. It is just amazing.
Well, do you think that all the congressmen and all the president and everybody like that, do you think their health care goes on the military spending? Because they're part of it.
Probably they should.
They're part of it.
Yeah. They probably should, yeah. Bush is the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, and so,
I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous. If they're going to cut it, why are they just moving all this money around? It's ridiculous. And this next story, I'll ask Rojo about this when he calls in, see if he knows anything about this shell game you're doing with the defense bill. Drive-through flu shots proving popular. Here's a story about lazy people. They may not come with fries, but drive-through flu shots are getting a positive reception. The Kaiser Permanente Shadow Grove Medical Center is offering the flu shots. The program is expected to continue on each of the next 4 weekends. Drivers pull up on Saturday. Didn't have to get out in the rain and walk. Oh, poor things. They might get wet. They like the idea of not having to, not having to be coughed on in a waiting room. They could listen to their car stereos as they filled out the paperwork. You know, this is ridiculous. About 1,600 people were too lazy to get out of their damn cars and go in to get a shot in Walgreens like the rest of us normal human beings did do. So, anyway. And hope they all get the flu. Anyway, this is a story from Monday that rocked the world here. Janet Jackson's secret daughter. My God, can it be? Janet Jackson and James DeBarge were briefly married in 1984, had a daughter together. Oh, my God. DeBarge's daughter, young DeBarge, has claimed in a radio program the kid is now 18 years old, living with Rebbie Jackson, Janet's oldest sister. Wow, that's amazing. And more amazing, she had her own child. She didn't adopt one, or Michael Jackson did. This is from Monday. A firefighter resigns following sex scandal. A disgraced New York City firefighter has resigned following a sex scandal that rocked his department. Investigators accused Tony DeLuca and two fellow firefighters of having sex with a woman at the firehouse. In the, I wonder if they used a pole or not. While while on duty, and then lying to cover it up. After a scandal, the department brass reassigned a dozen firefighters. So there they are. I guess they're just, you know, working on their hoses with her, I guess. I don't know. And this next one's from the EU Observer, European Union Observer from Brussels. Brussels puts toughest ever entry talks regime on the Turks and the Croats. I mean, why is that? I mean, we had that interview last week with Mr. Vague. I mean, I think they should let the Turkey into the damn EU, for crying out loud. That'd be open up the door to the Middle East, you know?
You can't give somebody that's not in Europe into the EU.
Well, they're on the border of the EU. They're on the border of Europe.
Yeah, but
Turkey. Well, Greece is in it.
They're part of the Middle East.
Yeah, Greece is in it.
But that's not Middle East.
Well, I just think they should let them in. Why not, you know?
Because
include them in the
what
world.
They call it European Union.
they call it Middle East Union. Then I don't know.
Well, they already have one called OPEC.
Well, but Turkey doesn't have any oil. They don't have any oil. Anyway,
they
just want to belong,
I guess.
I think they should let them in. I mean, I think it would go a long way to bringing them to the modern age with the rest of the world. And then Bush nominated Ben Bernanke for Federal Reserve Chairman. The markets responded very favorably to him. They went up 100 points that day. This is on Monday. Ben Bernanke has been given the nod to succeed Alan Greenspan as Chairman of the Federal Reserve, arguably the second most powerful man in the country. So if the stock market went up, they must like him. He's 50 to 51 years old, born in Georgia. Of course, he's got a degree from Harvard. Assistant professor of economics from Stanford. He also professor of economics at MIT. What else? He's been in on the one of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors confirmed by the Senate in 2003. So he's already in there. So, Greenspan had to go sooner or later. So we'll see what happens with the Bernanke. Hopefully he does as well as Greenspan has. This is from AlJazeera.net from the English version. Thermal tents to offer hope to quake people hit from the earthquakes in Pakistan. Apparently they're offering these thermal tents. The semi-spheric tent is made of thick plastic laid over a frame of standard water pipes and lined with ordinary blankets. Then the mud is like backed up to shelter to provide shelter to prevent water from coming in. And apparently it's supposed to be provide warmth, I guess, from the body heat kind of keeps circulating and moving around. They keeps the warm air in the tent. So good for them. We need some of those in Florida. I mean, some of those in we need some of those up in the east, because this east is going to get walloped with the big blizzard. This is also from Sunday. A conglomerate reverses field. This is from Cendant, which they have an office here in Vegas. The company, the conglomerate, owns Century 21, Avis, Days Inn, and Orbitz. Is going to break up into four different companies. Apparently, they're saying by breaking them up, the company will be worth more. Those individual units will be worth more than the whole. So, Cendant's a huge company. Their breakup comes about 6 months after Viacom announced plans to separate CBS and its cable television companies into two. And of course, now Time Warner is talking about selling off chunks of AOL. So we'll see what happens with that. Huh? This is from Sunday. Teacher admits webcam sex. This is from a former Colorado Springs coach and teacher who masturbated in front of a web camera for what he thought was a 13-year-old girl, pleaded guilty in the case and faces up to 18 months in prison. This jackass, Dana Scott Anstey, was actually connected to an online undercover police detective last June. He was arrested the next month and charged with promoting obscenity to a minor, which is a felony. Oh. Perverts. Weatherization tax credits. It's from Billings, Montana. I want to lower your home heating costs with a little help from the state. Montana has offering a credit worth 25% of the purchase of the upgrade. Of storm windows or doors, new insulation, clock regulated thermostats, a new furnace, or a hot water heater. So the state, it's proactive. State's trying to get these people to upgrade all their stuff to save money and energy. So, I don't know. I guess that's a good thing. I don't know. Let's see. This next one is six arrested after a brawl at Lorain High School. Police say adult suspect provided weapons for the students. Oh, there you go. Here. Take the bat, take the wood, and start clubbing people with it. Lorain School District from Ohio. Our leaders are trying to determine what ignited a brawl at an Emerald King High School Wednesday afternoon. Police arrested seven students and one adult armed with bats and golf clubs. I hope it wasn't a driver. And the fight broke out in the school's parking lot at 4 p.m. This 38-year-old said the police supplied at least three of the teens with weapons. Brilliant. Nigeria to jail spammers. This is, praise the Lord. Everybody's gotten these damn emails from Nigeria about some overlord or something, some poor, some idiot want to funnel millions into your bank accounts. Nigeria, home to the world's most notorious cybercrimes, has proposed a law making spamming a criminal offense for which senders of unsolicited emails can be jailed for at least 3 years. Good for them. Under the bill that is approved by the National Assembly to become law, convicted spammers face jail terms of 3 to 5 years and could also be made to hand the proceeds of the crime to the government. So that's about time to crack down. I mean, you can stick all these damn emails from, Obuda or whoever the hell he is. $28 million, and you get 10% of it. Ridiculous. Crash kills a woman and a donkey. This is from Colton, California. A young woman is dead Friday after a donkey crashed through the wind. How the hell did a donkey? After a donkey crashed through the windshield of the car she was riding in. It happened just after midnight near Colton on a stretch of highway where similar crashes have happened. The driver of the car suffered major injuries and was taken to a hospital, and a donkey was also killed. So, little donkeys. You've got to watch out for those donkeys, this is also from Saturday, an elevator to space. NASA, giving away money again, gives an idea a lift. 12 teams vying for $100,000 in prizes. So apparently they had an idea. Somebody had an idea of building an elevator up to space, and NASA is going to go ahead and give them money to go ahead with the conceptual ideas and everything. This is crazy. Dozens of contestants fighting for a mere $100,000 in NASA prizes will send their light-powered climbing devices only 200 feet high using a commercial tether of commercial fiber suspended from a crane. NASA is serious about projects like this and has created what is called a series of centennial challenges aimed at filling new space needs with new technologies. Huh. I wonder if that's going to be a union operator pressing the button. I want to go up to the stratosphere. Press the button.
Well, hey, Sean, have you heard about the space elevator at all?
No.
It's actually real.
Really? So you take an elevator to space?
Carbon nanotubes, and what they do is they make a big ribbon.
Really?
And then basically if you throw it out there far enough, you can sort of throw a satellite in geosynchronous orbit.
Really?
And it's connected to the Earth.
Wow. Because so you can't go in the room and press the button and
take me
up? Well,
you have to get outside of the... basically the gravity, and once you're outside of that, the world is spinning fast enough to
catch it in orbit, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you can use, it's the nanotube ribbons are really tough.
Huh.
So.
Wow. And also, this is a poll I post on the LV Rocks, the message board. Poll shows Iraqis back attacks on U.S. and U.K. troops. 45% of Iraqis believe attacks on U.S. and British troops are justified, according to a secret poll that has been commissioned by British defense leaders and cited by the Sunday Telegraph. Less than 1% of those polled believe the troops were responsible for any improvement in the security. 82% of those polled say they're strongly opposed to the presence of the troops. I care less about Iraq.
A secret
poll? I care less about Iraq. Secret, not secret anymore. I could care less about Iraq. You got to get those troops out, end this thing, and get them back. I mean, you can't care less about those people over there now. Officials kill deer to, here it is, blame the animal, you know. Officials kill deer to gored man to death. Man dies after violent deer attack. Okay, you know, deers don't, are not known usually to go off and attack people. A deer believed to be one of the, believed to be the one, how you can tell one deer from the other, I don't know. A deer believed to be the one that gored a Rancho Santa Fe resident in his backyard, causing the man's death, was shot by federal trackers, and a post-mortem test on the animal were pending on Thursday. This 73-year-old man was died from a pulmonary blood clot that resulted from a violent encounter with a six-foot-tall wild animal. Of course, you're out in the Rancho Santa Fe. Of course, it's going to be wild. 3 weeks ago, the guy was picking tomatoes when a six-foot-tall buck charged out of a patch of shrubbery and gored him in the face with his its antlers before running off. So, you know, let's kill the animal. Who cares? Like sharks, you know, they bite that girl's leg off in California or Florida. I was like, you know, trying to shoot the shark, you know. Girl fights pit bull. Ten-year-old saves dog during walk on Saturday. He's from Omaha, Nebraska. A pit bull is being held in. This dog be put down too. You know, a pit bull is being held at the Nebraska Humane Society after a 10-year-old girl jumped on the dog, which was attacking her 4-pound dog Chihuahua. This girl was rushed to the emergency room after suffering a couple of minor scratches. She was taking her 2-year-old Chihuahua for a walk when a pit bull came charging at them. So this girl jumped on the pit bull and got her Chihuahua free from the pit bull and got scratched up a little bit. So you know they're going to put this dog down. They're going to put this pit bull down. And the next one's from Saturday. From Fresno, Mayor Autry to meet about Bass Pro Shops. We got a huge Bass Pro Shops here in Vegas. I mean, it's doing very well. It's considered a key piece of the plan to revitalize downtown Fresno. This weekend, Mayor Alan Autry will travel east to discuss the possibly bringing Bass Pro to Fresno. I'm going to have to sell raisins in there. Fresno City Council member is this guy named Tom Boyayan. So there's no deal has been made, so they're trying to get Bass Pro Shops to come to town. That place, is that one here in Vegas, is a revitalized at Silverton Hotel, big time. This next one is from Friday. FEMA overpaid at least $174 million to Katrina victims. A Florida newspaper said that the FEMA agency issued overpayments of at least $174 million in its rush to help Hurricane Katrina victims. The Florida Sun Sentinel reports that in 3 Louisiana parishes, FEMA paid at least $70 million. That represents more payments than households. The report said that 36 parishes and counties in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, FEMA awarded $102 million to at least 51,000 more applicants than local officials said were displaced by the storm. So, I don't know. The spokeswoman that said FEMA put the needs of disaster victims first, and she said the agency will prosecute those who commit fraud to get federal aid. So, I don't know. She's always wishing there was a better account.
They're never going to catch the people that did fraud.
No, they're
ever.
All gone. Yeah.
Because they didn't have to show any ID because you
exactly.
were...
Exactly. Here's your $2,000 debit card. Go spend it.
Well, you're a refugee. You're seeking refuge from...
Evacuee.
From a storm.
Evacuee.
Evacuee,
politically
refugee,
correct. I mean,
whatever.
They're not evacuating.
Oh, yeah, that's
no
right.
Refugees.
Americans can't be a refugee.
Absolutely.
Jesus.
And that part of the world, as I said down there, too. Henderson State students charged with rape. This is not from Vegas, thank the Lord. Henderson, Arkansas, from KARK TV, KRK. 5 students at Henderson State faces charges of rape. The campus police said the victim was a 13-year-old girl. Oh, man, these sick people. It happened late last Saturday night. Police said the girl snuck out of her grandmother's house, then met up with 4 men. According to the affidavit, the girl said the men smoked marijuana and drank alcohol with her, then helped her sneak into the Newberry Hall dorm. The police said she had sexual intercourse with all 4 men inside the dorm. A 5th man was also charged with rape with the same girl from a separate incident. Oh, so this I don't know. This girl can't be all pristine. I mean, at least one of the men stated the girl claimed to be more than 18 years. Well, I don't know, but... So let's see. She said she was 18. I don't know. I think you can tell an 18-year-old from a 13-year-old, but that's just me. I don't know. We'll see where that goes. Still amazing. This next one was an error rape. Rapist arrested after he has victim write him a check from Friday. A rapist who attacked a woman at gunpoint and was captured when he forced his victim to write him a check in his own name, then he tried to cash it. Brilliant. Brilliant, these dumb crooks. Officers said they arrested Anthony Roberts, 25, of Hialeah, Florida, on Wednesday night, minutes after he left the woman's apartment as he tried to cash the $1,400 check. He told the victim to write in the memo line the check was for electrical work. Yeah, he's just trying to figure out her what it was short-circuiting in her. I mean, for crying out loud. Idiot. I don't know what the guy was thinking. You know, of course, to cast a check, and we're going to be able to trace him. Florida. Amazing. And what else? Let's see here. This is from a former Colin Powell aide. Cheney Rumsfeld Cabal hijacked U.S. foreign policy. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell's top aide has accused Vice President Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld of creating a cabal that has hijacked U.S. foreign policy. Lawrence Wilkerson, who was Powell's right-hand man for 16 years in the public and private sectors, also skewered President Bush, saying that the U.S. leader was not versed in international relations and not too much interested in them either. That sounds like Clinton all over again. I would say that we have a courted disaster in Iraq, in North Korea, and Iran, Wilkerson said. I wish Powell would run for president. I mean, I think he's the one man who's got the credibility and the stature to actually reach across racial divide, party divide. I mean, I like him a lot. He'll never run for president, but I wish he would. This next one's from Friday. Croatia confirms first cases of bird flu. Croatia confirmed the country's first cases of bird flu Friday with six swans tested positive for the H5 type, the agricultural ministry said. 12 swans were found dead Thursday near a pond in the village of East Croatia. So, man, this bird flu, they better get a handle on this. Finally, that damn factory, that company that produces the flu virus, they relented. They're going to build a plant here in the United States to produce flu virus, so the vaccine. So I hope they get this under control. Jeez. Teacher accused of kidnapping and molesting a student. This is from Broward, Florida. Broward sheriff's deputies arrested a teacher they said kidnapped and sexually molested one of his 12-year-old students. Oh, man. This 29-year-old teacher at a Crystal Lake Middle School in Pompano Beach. Investigators said Valdez gave detention to a boy in his class and offered him a ride home at about 5 p.m., but instead of taking the boy home, Valdez took the 12-year-old boy to his house where he showed him a pornographic video and performed oral sex on him. Ugh. First it's the priests, now it's the damn teachers doing this now. You know, I mean, we got to get a handle on these people. I mean, I don't know if it's got to raise the pay in these people or what, but I think our guest is on the line. I think we'll be joined by Bill Roggio. Bill Roggio, you there, sir? Hello? Bill Roggio? Hello? I hear something.
Yeah, he was there a second ago.
Yeah. Bill Roggio, you there, sir? Hello?
Yeah.
Might be listening to the delay. No?
let me bring up the phone,
Steve. All right. And we'll just move on to more news. Husband hangs banner from highway asking for divorce. This is from Thursday. London. Is there a sure sign that a troubled couple needs a marital counseling? One marriage counselor said it's pretty clear. They started going public with their dirty laundry. In Britain, JBS wanted a divorce. He didn't care who knew, so last week he hung a banner from a highway bridge that said, "Wendy, I want a divorce, JBS." She responded with her own banner in the same place, saying, "No way, you are the cheat, Wendy." So one counselor said the pair were very angry, oh, no kidding, to air their feelings in such a public way. Well, at least it made the sign company some money. So I think Bill Roggio is on the line? No? Oh. Man arrested for distributing pictures of privates. This is from Thursday. Where are we at here? Police said that they've caught up with a man who's been putting pictures of his privates on cars of suspecting women parked at shopping malls in Hartford, West Bend, and Germantown. Authorities have been investigating 8 such incidences dating back to January. Hartford police identified the 40-year-old man after a officer spotted him driving a vehicle that matched one in surveillance taken from one of the malls. Hey, what is this? You're taking pictures of your privates. I think Bill Roggio's on the line? No? What's wrong? He's going to call back. Okay. We'll keep going with the news. And Officers searched the man's Hartford home yesterday and seized numerous photos. They say the man has admitted to placing photos of his genitalia on women's vehicles. Lovely. Great, great, great. Yeah, now you get the crap on your car from the people trying to raise money for Jehovah's Witness and all that. Now you get the people putting their pictures of their privates on your car, too. It's just brilliant. Two Hammond police officers accused of sexual activity while on duty. Hammond Police Chief Brian Miller wants to fire two officers for having sex while on duty in two separate incidences. Miller says he'll ask the Board of Public Works and Safety to fire Corporal Sean McDaniel and Corporal Kirk Andrews. They're two men. The police say McDaniel and another identified officer were captured on video taking part in sexual activity in the police station. Oh, man, they're just checking out the billy clubs, I think. McDaniel and other officers are also being investigated in allegations of marijuana possession. The police say evidence also surfaced in a police investigation that Andrews engaged in sexual activity while on duty. Police investigated a lingerie party involving several officers at McDaniel's home, but Chief Miller says nothing illegal occurred there. Well, no, just him and this other cop have screwed each other in the police department, so amazing. This is also from the European Union Observer. Hungary under fire for budget fiasco. The European Commission has criticized the Hungarian government for failing to make measures to cut its budget deficit. So some of the rules that the EU has for letting people, countries into their EU, is that they have to cut their deficit by a certain amount over so many years to get into the EU. They're criticizing Hungarian's government for failing to take measures to cut its budget deficit and expect to hit 6.1% of its GDP this year, gross domestic product. The commission on Thursday called on the bloc's ministers to send another wake-up call to Budapest, the second within 1 year, as its actions so far have proved insufficient to reduce the state deficit to 3.6% in 2005 and 2.9% in 2006, as earlier projected. So they're going to do further tax cuts, not trying to spur their economy and get the deficit down. So we'll see what happens. Okay. And I think we're joined by Bill Roggio. Sir, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Ah, welcome to the program. Sorry for the technical glitch.
No problem.
So I'm very good. Thank you. Tell us out there a little bit about your site. You run BillRoggio.com as well as others. You have you have EastonGate.com, War Truth and Videotape, WarsOfChange.net, and you're on the War Blog at Front Page Magazine, correct?
Yes. Well, my main site that I write at is at the Fourth Rail, which is BillRoggio.com. EastonGate, I basically did that as a to respond to Eastern Jordan's unsubstantiated claims that the military was intentionally targeting journalists. And the War Truth and Videotape was, we were still attempting to grab the videotape, but that effort failed. Front Page Magazine, War Blog, they just basically pick up some of my posts a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And Winds of Change, I wrote there for a while, but I'm no longer writing there.
Really? Now, I'm on your site now. I mean, I must compliment you. It's outstanding. You really go through a lot of effort. That's why I like all the bloggers I bring on. Yours is not really a blog. It's more of a site, right?
No, it's a blog.
It's a blog, really?
Comments, sure.
Yeah. Now, and right now I see you're trying to, you've been offered an opportunity to go to Iraq. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've been writing on the operations in western Iraq and in the Anbar province in detail, and I've been contacted by many Marines serving there, and they've told me that my analysis is dead on, and that I'm covering this as it's happening. I put together a flash presentation with my partners, and we basically showed how the campaign laid out over the span of a year. And I've been contacted by all the way up to the regimental commander. And they invited me to come to Iraq because they want me to see the progress that's going on over there.
Hmm.
So I'm taking them up on the offer because this is an issue that I've been covering for a year. I view this as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, very good. Now, of course, earlier today we had the sad number of 2,000 troops that have been killed in Iraq so far. Now, for those listening, for the American people, the 2,000 people, I know it's a solemn, we should take that into account, but going forward, where do we go from here with this war?
Are you asking in the sense of you know, are we going to still continue to lose troops in Iraq?
Correct.
Yeah, there we have the mission in Iraq is not finished. We still have a lot of work to complete, to work in to stand up the Iraqi army. And despite a lot of the information that's being put out there, they are fighting alongside of us, and they are fighting independently in Iraq. And we have to complete the mission. We are fighting out and killing Al-Qaeda in Iraq daily. This comes up in the media reports constantly. It's something that's underplayed. They're called insurgents, but they're not. A lot of the terrorists that we are killing in Iraq are Al-Qaeda, or foreign fighters that have been drawn to the country to fight the Americans in the heart of the Middle East, because they cannot countenance our presence there. They cannot take the fact that democracy will be established in the Middle East, and the fact that we've had two successful elections where 60 and then 70% of the people turned out is a finger to the eye of Al-Qaeda, and it is a ideological defeat for Al-Qaeda in their own backyard, and we have to continue to fight. And unfortunately, the sad part about fighting is that our soldiers will die. I don't say this lightly. I've served myself, and I do understand what the meaning of what sacrifice is. And many of us who are considered war bloggers understand this as well. Many of us have served, and it's an issue we're passionate about, that we have to defeat this enemy that wants to destroy our civilization.
Yeah, and of course we had the attack on the Palestine Hotel. Was it yesterday, where a lot of the foreign journalists say, I mean, the footage of that was gruesome there. It was a cement truck that first went through and blew up, and then a car bomb came after it. Is that correct?
Sure. Here's what happened. It was a coordinated attack. First, let me tell you the reason why they did it. Al-Qaeda took a beating with that last election. Mm-hmm. They could not pull off one single serious attack. There was, I believe they said, somewhere around 60 to 70 attacks overall in polling stations. Only 13 or 14 of those attacks were anywhere near effective. Only several people died. So they encountered a big loss on election day. So they're coming back at us now, and they're trying to demonstrate that Iraq is still a failure, that it's still a violent place, which it is a violent place. Mm-hmm. But they are trying to flex their muscles. So they went to attack where the journalists are. So they set up a coordinated attack. They knew that this was going to be on film and it was going to be played all over the network.
Mm.
So let me get to the attack now. It was three car bombs, two cars and a truck. The first car rammed the barrier. It destroyed the barrier. I believe that was obviously to open the hole. There was a second car bomb that went off. Iraqi troops stopped it across the circle. So that one should have made it through the breach, but it didn't, thanks to the good work of the Iraqi soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And the third vehicle was the cement truck that was going to ram through, was designed to hit one of the buildings. I believe that the car and the cement truck were both intended to hit either one or both of these hotels.
Mm-hmm.
The cement truck got caught, and so it detonated in the middle of the street. And I believe most of the casualties occurred where the Iraqi police destroyed that second car.
Yeah, and then also I'm on your site right now, and you have about the Western raids over in Sadaa,
yes,
by the Syrian border. Now that's important because Syria they just came out with that report about Syria being involved with the assassination of the former prime minister of Lebanon. Now, do you think the combination with that, with Operation Iron Fist, that we're finally going to take on Syria?
I think that what we're trying to do in Western Iraq is to cut that flow of terrorists in from Syria. Syria is either helping the terrorists make it through or turning a blind eye. Either is unacceptable. Combine that with the games they've been playing in Lebanon, that the pressure is on. France and the United States are working together on this issue with Syria. I think that we've moved towards the border, and this is a serious, military pressure along with the political pressure being put through in the United Nations from not just the United States, but again, France, Britain, and there's a resolution at the Security Council that I believe will be passed that will, if the Syrians do not turn over the people for prosecution, the senior government officials that are named, and believe it or not, in the UN report, they were the very senior officials who were, whose names were scratched off at the last minute. If they are not turned over, there's going to be economic sanctions on Syria, and I think that's just the beginning if Syria does not relent on
this issue. Yeah, well, Syria has been traced back to be the originating of all this these terrorist attacks in Lebanon, and even with the come over the border from Iraq. You know, some people have even said that Osama bin Laden's actually in Syria. What do we think about that?
I don't believe he's in Syria. I don't think that that's a good place for him to be. I know there's a lot of theories on where Osama bin Laden is. If we know that, let me go back to Syria. Syria's sponsors, Lebanese Hezbollah, which as does Iran. They allow them to operate in the Bekaa Valley. They are up to their eyeballs in terrorism. That's something we know. But if you were asking where Osama bin Laden is, I believe he's either somewhere on the Afghan-Pakistani border. Another possibility is that there's well over 100 senior al-Qaeda leaders in Iran. A lot of credible people think he may be in Iran, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case as well.
Now, what's your reaction to that poll that was done by the supposedly a secret UK poll about how the Iraqis support the attack on the US and UK troops? Now, what do you think about that poll?
We didn't see the poll.
Oh, no?
We haven't seen the message used in the poll. We haven't seen anything. One thing I've learned with the short time that I've been writing is I don't discuss unleaked or unsubstantiated information any longer. It typically winds up that it's either misrepresented or uncredible or taken out of context. So, do I believe that 45% of the Iraqi people support attacks on U.S. troops? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. Not based on what I know about what's going on there and with the collaboration between the Iraqi government, the Iraqi army, and large swaths of the population. I don't believe that that's true. But again, I don't like to comment on something that, you know.
Well, now, are things as bad in Iraq as we're led to believe in all of our cable channels? I mean, you turn a TV, and of course, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. I mean, you're all over the place. I must say, your site's got all kinds of imagery, like satellite images of where the bombing took place, and in the square where Saddam's statue once stood. I mean, what do you think? Are we being misled by our own media?
I don't know whether it's intentionally being misled. In some cases, that may be the case, but I just don't think the media. I think they're looking for the soundbite. They're looking for the bomb of the hour. You know, those are images that sell, but they really, you know. And I think if I use the example of you take a look at the attack on the Palestinian hotel, just look at that individually, and it's a horrible act. But when you put that in context of the big picture. Why did they conduct that attack? What was the impact of that attack? What was the outcome of that attack? Was it a success or a failure? You know, how did we react? How did the Iraqi troops react to that attack? Those are the issues. I don't think the media does a very good job at putting these issues in context. Somebody who I respect greatly told me the media has ADD. They look at what they see right now. And that's what they report, and they completely forget what they discussed last week. So I don't know whether it's a product of the culture of the media. I don't know whether it's laziness. I don't know what the reason it is, but I do know that they do a very poor job of putting this information in context.
Actually, I'm watching your flash presentation about the Operation River Blitz. I must say, I'm impressed. I mean, is it taking you through the whole thing? I mean, my compliments. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I know you mentioned that we have a lot of imagery. I have several flash presentations out there. It's one thing for me to write about this stuff, and I think it's another thing for people to see it. I want to give all of the visual aids that I can for people to help to understand. It takes a lot of effort between my partners, Marvin Hutchins and Steve Shepard, and I. They're wonderful partners of mine and very helpful. in all of the projects I've conducted, and we are firm believers that people can, if they read it, it's one thing, and if they can read it about it and have some visual to go along with it, a flash presentation, a satellite image, mm-hmm. a picture, an organizational chart, whatever I can put out there mm-hmm. and get my hands on, I will put it out there for the readers to help them learn. My number one goal is to educate people. I want people to understand why we're fighting this war, mm-hmm. Who we are fighting, and our successes and our failures. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
I'm going to discuss both.
Well, I mean, do you think the Powell Doctrine should have been implemented in this case, that we should win him with overwhelming amount of force?
I think we went in with enough force to overthrow the Saddam regime.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think we didn't do well in the case in Iraq is I don't think we disbanded the army, which needed to be done because there was a Ba'athist. It basically had a Ba'athist officer corps, and they were loyal to Saddam, so we were not going to, and also the Shiites and Kurds were not going to accept having a Sunni Ba'athist army officer corps. We would have been, if we think we have troubles now, if we would have done that, there would have been open rebellion throughout the country.
Mm.
So that was a necessity. What we didn't do is properly build the security forces immediately after. What we did was we tried to build National Guard units, which units were, basically policing their own neighborhoods, providing security for their own neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing in a secure country. It's a bad thing when the terror, when people do not want the Iraqi government, the U.S. government, to succeed in this effort. So they were easily intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
They were targeted. Their families were raped, killed, tortured, and things of that nature. And these security forces fell apart. And that's what led to the onset of the insurgency and what we've done since then.
Yep. Do you think leaving the northern border open at the start of this war was a problem as well? Because Turkey, couldn't make up their minds if they're going to let us use their eastern edge border to invade Iraq. You think that was a problem?
A problem that became was that we were supposed to push through the 4th Infantry Division through Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So the area that we're cleaning out right now in the area where I'll be going and our province, western Iraq, that's an area that the 4th Infantry Division was going to come down and clean out while the operations were occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Since they didn't make it down through there,
mm-hmm.
We basically deferred the war until a later date. And the problem, it was a serious political deceit for us to not be able to deploy through Turkey.
Yeah, and then, actually, a question from the chat room. What positive things about Iraq should the American people keep in mind?
I think they should keep in mind that the Iraqi army and Iraqi police forces, they're volunteering in droves. They have no recruitment problem, and they are becoming an effective fighting force. They've conducted two successful elections, which had a sounding turnout, greater than turnout in most Western democracies. The Shiites and the Kurds have been attacked relentlessly by al-Qaeda, who wants to create a civil war, and they have plowed forward, and they have not taken the bait. They have worked to build a government, and they've also transferred power successfully, I believe, two or three times, and they'll do it again when they have their election this December, the election for the Assembly. I think those are three very positive things the American public should keep in mind.
Now, how important was it for them to ratify this Constitution? I know the Shiites didn't really like it that much. How important is this vote on the Constitution?
I think it was important that the Iraqis showed up to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know whether the outcome of the vote was, to me, all that important. To be honest with you, had the vote failed, had they rejected the Constitution, I think that actually may have been the best outcome, because the Sunnis, who make up a large part of the insurgency, may have been more inclined to join the political process. But regardless, a lot of them did join the political process, because what would happen right before the election, they negotiated that the Constitution would be allowed to be modified after the election of the new assembly. So this brought in a lot of people. So the key is once elements of the insurgency start believing
Now, according to the news, I mean, the news makes it sound like the whole country is up for grabs. Now, is it like that, or is it just certain areas of the country that are you know, in disarray, or is it the whole thing's up for grabs?
Sure. There's 18 provinces in Iraq. Mm-hmm. About four of them have the main, two of them, Anbar, I believe it's province, have the majority of the attacks. Two others have the second most. I don't have the specifics in front of me. And then the other 14 are relatively peaceful. These are mainly the Shiite and the Kurd provinces. Mm-hmm. And there is occasional attacks in these areas, and there may be a hot spot or two in one of, you know, in a city or a town in some of these provinces. But the majority of the violence is occurring in the Sunni-dominated provinces. Mm-hmm. The south and the southern Kurdish, the southern Shiite regions and the northern Kurdish regions are actually showing signs of prosperity in their region. So it's not a countrywide problem. It's localized to several. Anbar province is the largest province, but it's also the least populated province as well. So, yes, it's not localized, or it's not countrywide. But
no,
that's several locales.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's because our media, you know, all the cable channels, just, every time, you know, you turn on, it makes it sound like the whole thing's, you know, flaring up. The whole country is, you know, up for grabs, and it's good that a good majority of the country is under control. Just there's a couple of trouble spots, but we got to keep going in and stamping it down. Correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, and again, like there was just a bomb went off in the Kurdish regions up north.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you turn the news on and you see a bomb went off in the Kurdish regions, you know, you'll think the whole country is gone to hell. Yeah. But it's not the case.
What about this idea that to give the Iraqis a stake in selling down their own country, that we take the program we use in Alaska for the oil and then translate that down to Iraq, that they, you know, if for the oil that the citizens of Iraq will share in the oil dividends that they get, that each person will get, you know, $10,000 or whatever it is, if they'll get money, you know, that will give them a share, give them some money to spend. I mean, what do you think about that idea?
I've read several proposals on that, and they all are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be opposed to something like that, and it certainly would, if people were going to receive some type of profit, you know, directly from the oil output, then they certainly would have a stake in not having their neighbors help sabotage the oil industry, which is something that the insurgency is actively trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would help tamp down the insurgency in the short run. In the long run, from a capitalist perspective, it creates dependency issues, which I'm not comfortable with. But I certainly think it's something that should have been and still should be explored in depth.
Oh, true. I mean,
there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, they can phase that out over so many years once the country gets back on its feet. I mean, this is just to spur the average Iraqi citizen getting some money to be able to spend, you know, be able to, you know, open their own business or what have you. I think it's something that the administration should look into.
You know, Sean, I had never heard it mentioned
phase
that out, and I think that is actually quite a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an issue, though. The administration doesn't control this anymore. The Iraqi people control their own government,
mm-hmm.
so we could only make suggestions.
True.
How they choose to go with their political process, it really is up to them.
True.
People don't think this. People think that there's an occupation and we're ruling that country.
Yeah.
It's not the case. The government is making the decision. We had to have them approve our operations.
Hmm.
Those operations that I have been describing.
Huh.
I mean, not singly to each individual operation, but, you know, we have to talk to them and say this is what we need to do and get them to sign off on it. That's basically the way it's working, and there's another positive that the American people need to understand.
Yeah, well, it's true, because the perception is that Talibani's government is basically a puppet of the United States, but what you're saying, it's really not. We have to go to them for approval on our operations that we're going to perform in their country. So that's something that we haven't heard before either. Our perception is not the reality of what's going on over there.
That's absolutely true. I can't stress that enough. They are in control of their situation. I know that a lot of people wanted us to step in when there was issues with the Constitution that people weren't happy with. all he did, Ambassador Kennedy, all he could do was advise them, and he could pressure and he could talk to them. But in the end, the Iraqi government made the compromises on their own to placate some of the Sunni groups. That's an exceptional thing. It's something that doesn't happen in the Arab world. They're learning to negotiate. They're learning how to deal with the political process, how to transfer power without having a coup. It's just name another country in the Middle East where this happens. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Now, how important is stabilizing Iraq and Afghanistan? Are they like linked together, or the two of them are separate altogether?
Are you asking, are they both involved in the war on terror?
Well, I mean, if it's kind of hard to phrase it. If you know, is it important for Iraq that we stabilize Afghanistan and vice versa? I mean, if we can, you know, calm Iraq down, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
Oh, okay.
First let me say that they are connected in that they're both battles within the war on terror.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think events in Afghanistan influence events in Iraq or vice versa all that much.
Mm-hmm.
However, we do have to remember that Al Qaeda has a presence in both countries, and that it does influence. You know, so if we're able to defeat Al Qaeda in one country or another, it's going to influence the way money is driven, funding, the flow of fighters, things of that nature. So yes, there is some influence that occurs, mm-hmm. or there's some connection between the countries, but. I wouldn't call it a direct relationship.
No. Now, we think today, I don't know if you watch the news, that, you know, Senator John Kerry, he was on saying that, that they should bring home 20,000 troops by Christmas. Now, do you think that the administration is going to cave to the pressure to bring home troops, given everything that's going on here with the hurricanes and the rest of this business?
No, the administration hasn't caved on any of these issues. There's been multiple calls to bring home troops by a certain date and a certain number. The Bush administration has not caved on any of these issues. I think they learned their lesson when they attempted to bring home troops too soon. We drew down to, I can't remember the date, but we drew down to about 105,000, and we had to ramp it back up to our current numbers to provide security.
Mm.
So I don't see anything happening there. It's an old and tired call, and the administration would be unwise to arbitrarily pick a date and a number of troops, to bring them home for political reasons when there's very important military reasons in Iraq.
I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think the American people should know when the troops are coming home. I think the administration, when they start doing this, they do it in drips and drabs, and then over a year's time or more, by that time there'll be only a handful of troops left, and hopefully the Iraqis would have their forces ready to go.
Yeah, we're going to be there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
We're going to be in strife for a couple of years. Still have a lot of work to do. We really only have 30. This is something. The Iraqis are like I explained before, they're currently fighting alongside us, and they're fighting independently in a lot of cases.
Mm.
They're only 30% of their troops are really well trained at this point. At what they had called level one or level two, which is, operating, level two being operating with, American assistance, logistical support, supplies, things of that, heavy armor, things of that nature. Only 30% of their troops are at that level, and we're really putting a beating on the insurgency at this point.
That's good.
They have a long way to get there. We need to stay there and help them get there. But the unfortunate part of that is we're going to take casualties doing that. That's the price we have to pay to follow through and to create a stable democracy in Iraq and to defeat Al Qaeda.
Yeah. Now, last week, I don't know if you heard the program. I had Richard Vega on for American Respect. Now, we have to understand the terrorism. Now, I believe we should have like a combination of both, like the carrot and the stick approach. Yeah, we'll help you out and everything, but if you don't, we're going to whack you. What do you think?
Well, as far as the hardcore terrorists, the Al Qaeda, the jihadi hardcore elements, they're you can't negotiate with these people. There is no negotiation with them. They are committed to their cause. They're religious fanatics that just do not have no desire to negotiate with us. They are trying to impose their worldview on us, and that's all they care about. I don't see any way of negotiating with them. Now, there is certainly the next level, say the sympathizers, the ones, you know, the next level that is willing to, you know, that may be sympathetic to their message, or it may support them because they don't like the United States or don't like their current government. I think those are the people that we need to target in some type of way to convince, you know, that those are where the outreach programs go. Mm-hmm. And this is the important part of changing the culture of the Middle East, of establishing democracy. These people don't have a voice in their governments, and some of the only places they can turn to that have any measure of power are the Islamists. Mm-hmm. So that's why they turn to them. If we can give them an alternate, they don't have to like us. Mm-hmm. They don't have to like us. All they have to do is not want to kill us. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the most important.
Well, Bill Rasho, we thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you, Sean. I very much enjoyed our talk.
Well, thank you. I'll have you back on in a few weeks, and once again, I appreciate being on, and hopefully some of the listeners will go and donate to your cause by going to Iraq.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir.
Bye now.
Thank you. And that was Bill Rasho at BillRasho.com. And I appreciate him being on the program. And we could be back in the second hour. We'll have Justin from the Dunkelfin to go over our political review. And then Glenn Roberts of I Am My Own Reporter, a little bit of insights about what's going on in Cuba. And we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Thank you.
Ago. I never thought I would be at 23 on the verge of spontaneous combustion. Woe is me, but I guess that it comes with a territory, an ominous landscape of never-ending calamity. I need you to hear, I need you to see, but I am half a fucking take an exploding scene, like an evidence possibility.
Levine Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Welcome back to Subject to Discussion. There we go. Oh, it's nice when there's a little technical glitch here and there. That's all right. I'm a color professional. And this is the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly, Sean Harry Carey Daly, because right now the fourth game of the World Series is 0-0 in Houston. And we'll be joined by Justin from the Dunkelfint with our pool. There he is. Oh, Lord. There we go. Justin, are you there, sir? There you go. I tried to find some. Trying to find some elephant. Yeah, that's your entrance music, the donkey. Then we got to find an elephant now.
Yeah, and just mix them in like a cacophony of nonsense.
Yeah, I figured we got enough jackasses around the studio. Why not one more? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, hey, if I'm anything, I'm that.
We have one jackass that's usually sitting in the other room for 2 hours. He's not here tonight, so we're glad that jackass is gone. But anyway, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, glad to be back on.
Yes, we missed you last week. But now we were talking about the I got to get your topics here. My papers are a mess. I do apologize.
Okay.
Now, what about this Harriet Myers business? Now, that's like they expect her nomination to get pulled, huh? What do you think?
There's some weird speculation going on there, Sean. And, the administration is just pushing forward because they basically need a win. I mean, things are not going very good for them, so... they're pushing forward and trying to have Myers redo her questionnaire,
I think, which was due today,
and I don't know if she got it in today. As of 5, I think 5 o'clock, she hadn't got it in today, but it was due back today. I could be wrong about that, though, because I haven't checked the web in the, like, the past couple hours. But so there's the Myers questionnaire, and then there she's also, you know, doing the rounds around Washington, and she seems to still be getting kind of a lukewarm response from a lot of Republican senators. It looks like the theory being floated out there right now is that the Republicans are really pushing back hard on the White House papers, her papers, her records with as a general counsel of the White House, to kind of give the administration an out, to kind of say, well, we're not going to give you the papers, so we're going to have to pull this nominee. But I don't think that's going to happen, honestly. I think what's going to happen is she's going to go into the hearing, and and we'll see what goes on from there. I mean, the conservative blogosphere is just, it's not divided. I mean, I think it's probably an 80-20 proposition. I think 80 of them are like, this woman should not have been nominated, and about 20 of them are pretty hardcore party loyalists and are saying, no, she's, you know, if Bush picked her, she's a good nominee. And you know, I mean, I don't know. I think that there's probably a good possibility that she's going to go into the hearing, she's going to not impress anybody, and she's just not going to be voted in.
Wow. Now, moving on a little bit, excuse me, we have this, I don't know if you read the USA Today, but they had a poll in the paper today from CNN and USA Today, Gallup poll, about the poll that apparently the American people are finding discontent with both parties. They disapprove of President Bush 55% to 42%. They disapprove of the Democrats 53% to 41%. And they disapprove of the Republicans in Congress 58% to 38%. What do you think? Do you think the American people are just getting fed up with all the BS in Washington, or what?
Well, I think that they see two parties just you know, trying to knock each other off of this really small pedestal, and you know, everybody else is below the pedestal, and they're like, hey, wait a second, you guys need to be down here with us, you know. And I think that's kind of that's what those poll numbers show. There's an overall discontent, and I think that what that's showing is that, you know, we want these people to put politics aside and just get some work done. You know, that's what usually when polls say, you know, the majority of the people are not happy with anybody, that means that, you know, everybody needs to start saying, okay, what can we do to make it better collectively, you know, and find some common ground.
Well,
good for us, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, I read that story earlier about that BS with the shell game they're doing with this defense money that, they've cut, I forget what it was, $60 billion from the defense budget, but now you see they're funneling it back in, what they call a bridge budget, these spending bills that they're putting this money back in, backdooring it. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, the people aren't more upset about all this BS than they are.
Well, you know, that's just the thing. It's like it's really tough to make that type of story sexy. And, you know, and at the end of the day, it does come down to the attention spans of, you know, John and Jane's public, right?
Yeah.
So they're a lot more interested in the Iraq War and this Valerie Plame thing. So that's what the media is feeding them. And they seem to be wanting to hear more of that. And so, yeah, stuff like that, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I think a lot of people are split about that issue that you're talking about right there. Well, they cut it, but then people are like, well, why are we cutting defense? We're supposed to be in the war on terror. We're supposed to be winning this war on terror. We still have people over in Iraq. Why are we cutting defense? There are other people on the other side of the aisle saying, aha, look at this. They cut it, but then they put it back in.
Yeah.
So it's just one of these things that, like, you know, I mean, it, at the end of the day, it seems like kind of a wash politically.
Yeah. Now, what about the indictments coming down? I expected the indictments to come down today in this Plame scandal. Looks like it's going to be tomorrow, huh?
Tomorrow or the next day or Monday or, he has until, I think, the end of October, I believe. So, we'll see. I thought that they were going to be today as well. It feels like that. Well, you know what happened today, actually, is they went back to the grand jury for about 2 or 3 hours.
Well, he met with the judge today, Fitzpatrick. He met with the judge. today, apparently, according to Fox News. So I don't know what's going to, they said between 1 and 5 indictments. What have you heard?
I heard it's going to be closer to the 5.
Oh.
And I don't think that Cheney is going to get indicted, but I do think that, there's a good possibility that Libby is going to be indicted, and Rove is going to be indicted, and some other mystery person that isn't necessarily associated with the administration.
Really? How about Robert Novak, huh?
I don't think so. But
no.
you never know, because you don't know what sort of deal he struck. I mean, you never heard anything. All you heard about was Matt Cooper and Judith Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And you never really heard anything about Novak,
no.
Even though that's primarily where people figured out this. I mean, I don't think Judith Miller didn't even write about Plank.
Yeah,
she just had a conversation with
him. Well, yeah, she really, I don't know.
You know, what it seems like to me, I don't know if it does to anyone else here, but it seems like the Democrats have gotten to the point where they don't want to win any more elections, but what they want to do is they want to make it so that everybody on the other side looks horrible no matter what they do.
True. Yeah, wait a
minute. And they can't really win anything, so what they're going to do is they're going to indict
everybody. It's not a Democrat
that's
doing this. This is a Republican senator from Illinois.
Well, you got to look at what the DeLay case. That guy says he's a conservative, too.
Yeah,
but he threw a huge indictment against him because he knows those guys, and there's no evidence in there. There's none.
I don't know. Do you think this...
Let me speak real quick to the DeLay case. That's because of Texas state law. That's not because of any type of federal law.
Yeah.
The whole soft money thing, I know a lot of people have been like kind of hemming and hawing over that, but that's because of Texas law. That doesn't have anything to do with federal law. Another thing we have to remember, William Kristol wrote this article, which basically I think the meme that he tried to spread was criminalizing conservatism. And we have to remember, which was the last president who spent his whole second term, in fact, pretty much his whole presidency, embroiled in scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal, right?
Yeah.
It was Clinton.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, and I'm not saying that this is anything that we want to keep going on, but Clinton's entire second term was taken up by
scandal,
grand juries and indictments, and having to go in and testify and having to deal with all of these legal troubles that were brought up in the first term.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bush isn't necessarily going to be indicted. He's going to pay a little bit of a political price for Rove and Libby. But Rove has been known to basically play dirty politics. I mean, that's kind of his background. Now, I'm not very, very familiar with Libby, but it looks like it's not going to hit Cheney. It's not going to hit Bush. You know, they have many other people around them that can help them, push their agenda through. And I think that's what they need to focus on right now, as opposed to focusing on kind of their aides.
Well, why can't we focus on things that the country really should be focusing on instead of this BS? Every administration now, ever since Clinton's impeachment, is going to have this gotcha thing. We got you. You know, I mean, we're wasting so much money on these investigations, so much time. You know, like I said in my post on the board here, we got the infrastructure is collapsing in this country. We got, we're graduating these idiots from school. We're going to be in charge of our country. Well, think about it. These schools are a mess.
I agree. I mean, I live in Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Missouri has one of the worst school districts in the nation.
Yeah.
But, at a certain point, it's not necessarily up to the federal government to take care of, a local school district, right? And I will say this. I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of an opinion. It's a personal opinion of mine. And you guys know that I'm basically a moderate Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
But what's worse? A guy, like Clinton using his power to take advantage of an intern, in the White House, or somebody outing a CIA agent.
Well, you also got to,
come
out.
On.
This whole case is going to get thrown out. The federal law actually reads that they had to be an agent in another country acting as an agent, and then there's this buffer time zone. And it was past that buffer time zone by close to a year. So the whole case is going to get thrown out regardless.
Yeah.
Listen, and I'm not saying that I disagree with that, but that is what is at issue here, to figure out if that's what happened, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to let the law, do its job. Just like, they let the law do its job, during the Clinton years, we have to let the law do its job here. And you know what? It's gone on a lot shorter than it did with Clinton, because Clinton went pretty much from year two, you know, to year eight, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is pretty much a hiccup.
Yeah, it took longer for the Bush administration to get broiled in a scandal than it did the Clinton administration.
Well,
I guess that's a good thing, right?
The only bad thing about it is the political price that's paid is every single person that's around George Bush is now getting just indictments thrown at them for just the worst erroneous stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some guy that was wanting to put an indictment against Cheney for lying to on a talk show because he said that he didn't know an answer. And they said, no, he knew the answer because in the last interview he said this. And it's like, what are you guys doing? You're criminalizing someone even going on a talk show now because he can't remember something for an answer?
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's BS, right?
Yeah.
But basically what you're going to see with the indictments is there is probably going to be some sort of, you know, charge where, you know, purposely outing a CIA agent, okay? But I don't know that that's necessarily going to be Libby and Roe. Libby and Roe is going to be obstruction of justice and perjury, right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's remember what Clinton got, you know, indicted, got impeached for, right? Impeached. The Republican Senate wanted to get this guy completely out of office. And, you know, and we have Kay Bailey Hutchinson going on Meet the Press and saying, well, this technicality, perjury, right? I mean, perjury is a crime.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to respect that. We have got to respect the law and let the law do its thing. And, hey, listen, if Roe and Libby get off, they get off, you know?
No, they will.
It means they have effective counsel, you know?
I just think
And maybe they didn't do anything wrong. Maybe they just misspoke. But let's figure it out before we say, oh, you know, they didn't do anything wrong and prejudge all this, because by the way, we don't know.
Well, the only thing we do know is the time frames, and the time frames don't match the law, so it's basically just that's the thing. And anything that came from that is stuff. The perjury charges, perjury is very rarely ever prosecuted in this country.
Yeah.
Rarely ever.
It was prosecuted
Clinton.
During the Clinton administration.
Yeah, well, Clinton,
harshly.
Because that was not just one time. He did it, like, over and over and over through, like, a ton of grand jury questioning and everything. These guys said it, like, once.
Well, my thing is
who knows?
We don't necessarily know that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, until we see the indictments come down, we don't necessarily know.
Yeah.
That.
I got to admit that this thing's been pretty tight, and there haven't been too many leaks out of this one. Unlike with the Ken Starr BS, you know, the leaks have been kept to a minimum. But man, my problem is what this is doing to the system itself. I mean, you got these kids. You know, I've always been the kicker registering people to vote. I mean, they see all this. You know, Bush was, you know, same with Clinton. The two of them were coming out. Oh, we have the most ethical administration known to man, and they're all always involved in scandal. You know, Bush, Clinton, Bush's father was tied up in scandal. Reagan was tied up in scandal. Carter. I mean, you know, I don't know if we need a higher caliber of person to be in there, or need to get more.
Have to get rid of the parties. There should be no Democrat and Republican party. Just get rid of them, because it causes problems and wastes our money.
People have definitely floated this idea out there, is that they want to give, you know, the president just the executive privilege to not be prosecuted during his administration.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean, people have floated that idea out there. Obviously, that's a flawed idea, right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, if you have these types of things where, I mean, you know, like the Iran-Contra affair, right? I mean, like, you know, these are things that need to be looked into.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that, you know, Clinton stuff needed to be looked into. I think that there was, you know, there was a little bit of jimmying with that stuff, but there's jimmying with all of it.
Absolutely.
Right? And so that's where the politics come in, mm-hmm. and it's up to us as the voters to say, to target those people who are doing that and say, we don't want you in there anymore.
Well, it's hard because, you know, these incumbents always get in. As I always say, you know, vote against these damn incumbents as much as you can. Like Harry Reid, I can't stand him here in Nevada. You know, I vote against him every chance I get. He still gets reelected. You know, I mean, just that, I don't know, we need an inner party. I mean, Ross Perot, where are you?
I've sent Harry Reid so much hate mail.
Oh.
And I keep getting back these responses.
Horrible.
Oh, we thank you for your mail. We will give this to him. And it's just like, you know.
Oh yeah, that's the thing that I dislike the most. I mean, I get these form letters back, and I think that's one thing that I would really like to have changed. I would like to and I know this is completely impossible, but I would like to force them to actually answer, you know, their constituents with something other than
they used to do the town hall
meetings.
Seems
like it's set to be illegal. You know, it's like they're representing us, and yet they're able to just like
do whatever they want.
Form letter back with a stamp on it. You know, that just doesn't seem right.
They don't care.
I sent some to Barbara Boxer too about the same time, and I actually got a response from them.
Really?
And what it was, oh, you're not one of my constituents. You don't live in the area codes I represent, so basically F off in so many nice words.
Now,
that's basically what they said.
That would have been pretty funny if she actually said F.
Oh, that
would have
been really
right.
funny.
Now, what about Cindy Sheehan? She's going to latch herself to the White House fence. When's she going to do that, tomorrow?
Basically the casualties have reached 2,000 soldiers, and that's no doubt that's tragic. But I mean, all these people signed up. They know they basically knew that they were signing up for war.
Exactly.
Regardless of whether or not you believe that the war was justified or not, these people are in our military, and they sign up, and their job is to essentially fight and die for our country. Now, Cindy's son died, and that's tragic. But a lot of people feel that this gives her some sort of like moral authority to say and do whatever she wants, and I disagree. I've defended her on the blog, but at a certain point, it just feels like another publicity stunt.
Well, as soon as she lined herself up with MoveOn.org, her credibility went out the window.
Well,
with
now
me.
That's her with George Soros, because who's the biggest person it gives to Move On? George Soros, who's trying to buy political
power.
Change.
Yeah, and I as soon as she did that,
guys, there are a lot of people trying to buy political change.
Well,
I mean,
you
have heard of Richard Mellenscape, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was on, they're talking about on O'Reilly tonight, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Richard Mellenscape invented the system that George Soros is now just co-opting. So, let's make sure that we don't demonize, you know, one side.
Oh, no, I don't.
No,
I demonize them all.
Yeah.
It's just he's one that's given millions and millions and millions to one that's, like, taking advantage of people like Sheehan.
Sheehan.
They're using her as, like, a pawn
Same
in a
thing
game.
Same with Schiavo, idiots used Schiavo and all that. Drove me nuts. I mean, we need, like, a Ross Perot to step up to the plate and fund another party or, you know, something like that. I mean, I don't see anybody out there willing to fork over, you know, $100 million to, you know, get a third party going, huh?
I don't think that there necessarily is one right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't going to be somebody.
You have
a perfect political climate right now
for
somebody to come in and say, you know what, this is messed up. And I don't necessarily think Perot can do it again.
No. Somebody
like
him.
Plenty of people with plenty of money who could say, we need a new way.
Yeah.
And for somebody to just basically run as an independent. I mean, it could be either a Democrat or a Republican. There was Attorney General here in Kansas, just right across the state line from me. This Attorney General, Phil Klein, he's a Republican, very, very, very conservative, very, very Christian, very conservative. And one of his Republican, you know, fellow Republicans said, you know what, I don't like what you're doing anymore, and he switched parties, right, over to the Democrats. And he knew he couldn't start any type of third party, but I mean, this is the type of thing that like people can flop over to independent status quickly, you know. And I think that could quite possibly happen in the next couple of years, but it needs to happen quickly.
Hmm. Well, Justin, we'll let you go. We're down to our we have a Cuban segment we're going to go on to now. It'd be interesting. There's a guy called Glenn Roberts. He does a he's been to Cuba a few times and everything. He writes about what's going on in Cuba and everything. So this might be interesting coming up. So, but anyway, thank you for being on the program.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
All right, man.
Have a good night. And that was Justin from the Dunkelfint blog. We need to call Mr. Roberts there. He's a fascinating reporter. He's been to Cuba so many times. It's interesting talking about our politics. I, you know, jumping from topic to topic. Just We need some kind of solution. Hopefully there's, you know, someone out there, a millionaire or something like that, and or a billionaire can fork over some money to really start a third party. Ross Perot Jr. is out there. Maybe he can do something. I don't know. But it's clear we need something to be done. But it's good to hear from Justin from the Donkelfint. He runs a really excellent blog there, Middle of the Road blog. Lets both sides have it, and rightfully so. They both deserve to, you know, get laid waste. But looking at Glenn Roberts' site here, I am my own reporter on Cuba and Latin America. He writes, is that there? Uh-oh. Oh, no. His phone number was disconnected. What the hell? Oh, man. So, I guess we can mosey on over to our...
Hey, is it the toll-free number you were calling has been disconnected?
You're kidding me. I mean, that was a number I even copied it twice to make sure I had the right one. 1-800-772-7436. Maybe he gave me the wrong number anyway. Maybe it was to Cuba. I don't know. But, what do you think? Do we need a third party? We need a third party.
Have to.
We need a strong third party. I don't know who's got to write the check. I don't know if it's Ross Perot Jr., Ross Perot Sr., Mini Perot, Mama Perot. I mean, you know, somebody's got to write the
check. I think there's enough people in this country that are fed up with the politics, BS, games that are going on that they'll... You know, put out some money.
Well, I mean, like the one guy had Matt Unger from the American Centrist Party. He's got some good ideas, and the party makes sense. But I mean, he's going to have the money to get the site and get the party out there. So, but I don't know. And any score from the White Sox? Any White Sox? Any score here? Oh, 1-0. There we go.
Almost there.
We're almost there. Now we're closing in on the World Series victory. The White Sox will own the city of Chicago. There we go. There we go.
The hitless wonders turned the trick back in 1906. Shoeless Joe.
There you go. That's an excellent song. You know, I'm having to listen to it at my house.
Didn't you want to give that out to somebody?
Oh, well, all the baseball fans. That's good. It's going to be, I feel sorry for the city of Chicago when they do win it, because they're going to lay waste to that city. That's why it's a key. It's key that they win the World Series in Houston, not in Chicago. This is the key, because I don't want to see the park get destroyed by these fans. You know, every city, they destroy it. When the Bulls win it, they destroy the city. Every damn team that wins any kind of championship, they try to lose. I've seen these college towns get destroyed when they lose the bowl games. You know, they wipe them out. You know, what? I don't know. But anyway, getting back to our political discussion. If you want to call in, since the damn toll free number didn't work, 1-866-866-587-6257, or if you want to save us the dime, it's 702-338-1200. I am getting a DVD. Somebody sent me a DVD of the season one of Battlestar Galactica, so I'm thinking about a contest for the give it away. In a week or two, so I'm going to work on that a little bit more and talk about it next week, but there is a DVD on the way to my house, the first season, the U.S. version, so hopefully I'll be able to give that away in a couple of weeks, some kind of contest, get people into the damn chat room, would be nice, some kind of a chat room thing where you have to be in the chat room to actually get some kind of signal in there to win.
Must be present to win.
You know, this must not be present BS. You must be present to win this contest. But so we'll see. Now, have you worked on your assignment was to work on some Stargate guests, and he we could have used one tonight. No Stargate guests.
No, I kind of dropped the ball on that.
Oh man,
we'll get him.
We need a Stargate guest. So yeah, anyway, it's I don't know. Hopefully, we'll get somebody on from the show. I don't know. I did see Katie Sackhoff was in the online tonight in AOL, so I should have asked her to call in. But I thought they had the show for pretty well packed with guests, you know. But next week should be interesting. That Colin Bozzelli wrote that book, My War. He was actually in Iraq, so that should be very interesting. And you also served, right?
Yeah, I did. I did 4 years, right in between Desert Storm and when we went back into Iraq.
Oh, really?
The only thing I was around during was Bosnia.
Bosnia, because Rojo, he was actually in Desert Storm, in the U.S. Army, in Desert Storm. And then, what's his name?
He was part of the Signal Corps. I graduated. It was funny. They kept switching my my job around so much that at one time I was part of the Signal Corps, then I was part of there's this it's a little bomblet, little insignia, artillery or whatever they call them, field artillery. It's just the goofy things they just kept moving me back and forth into.
Really?
And then I graduated as aviation.
Wow.
And it was like, okay, so I have the little aircraft crew member wings, and my papers going there said Signal Corps, and then the other one was Ordnance Corps, that's what it was. My graduation certificate said Ordnance Corps, but the day after, when I got my orders to go to Fort Carson, Colorado, I was all of a sudden aviation again.
Really?
Yeah, inside of a year, I think it changed 6 times total.
I don't know. Now, what do you think about Iraq? I mean, you heard this guy tonight, Rogio, and you heard Richard Vague last week. I mean, I think a combination of two approaches would be good. You know, carrot and the stick approach. You know, we'll try and get these people prosper with free trade with these people.
It's
buy
not that's not what's happening right now.
Yeah.
That is what's going on right now. Yeah. They're slowly building up an infrastructure there. You know, the insurgents or, you know, whatever you want to call them, they're still blowing stuff up left and right. They're killing more civilians than they are any military target. It's getting ridiculous. And eventually, I really hope that the Iraqi people will get sick and tired of these idiots blowing their own people up that they say are their Islamic people. They're killing their own people. They're not even killing the troops and stuff.
Yeah.
They barely ever attack a military target. They just blow themselves up in markets and different things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It bothers me because, you know, I lost a close friend over there, and it was interesting seeing this damn poll, that some UK secret poll that these, you know, the damn people over there don't give a damn. You know, they're all for.
Well, they call it secret poll because they don't want to even tell you what the questions were they asked. So.
But still, I mean, what do you think the idea that I've been reading, I gave it to Rogio about doing the Alaska pipeline plan in Iraq, just for a few years, get the people some money. Like, they get the dividend. They sell the oil, and they divide up the dividends among the Iraqi people. That way they all get some money, you know. I think that it's something to be looked into.
Well, that was sort of how it's supposed to work there. Because it's not democratic.
But, yeah.
Well, it's not right now.
Yeah.
That's the way it was really supposed to work back when Saddam.
Yeah.
You saw what happened there.
But I think if they did that, I think it might help, because give these people some money to spend, give them some money to build their own businesses.
You're basically going to build yourself a welfare state there.
Well, no,
you're never going to.
No welfare
system has ever been phased out in the history of mankind. Not one.
Well, the Alaska one's getting phased out because they're running out of oil up there.
Well, they're not running out of oil. They're not letting
drill anymore. Exactly. Well, now, actually, they did approve of drilling in Anwar now, so hopefully we'll see some oil from there.
But they could only drill so many holes where they were, and they could only go down so far.
Yeah.
And it's this whole, you know, all the Greenpeace people, all the Green parties, just totally screwing our country.
Yeah.
They don't want even humans to be on this planet. I hate all of them.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
All of those groups. I despise them.
Tell us how you really feel. Tell us how you really feel about the goof.
No.
But I don't know. I just wish, you know, we could solve this thing and get out of there. I mean, it's obvious that these, you know, the people over can care less about the troops. I don't know. I mean, why can't we? It's interesting. And now the Bush administration is going to work on the illegal immigration issue. Finally, now like you said, it's about time. But now I read they're backdooring that. They're not going to put enough money into the fund actually to send the Mexicans back. They're only going to fund to put the border patrol there, but they're not going to fund the operation to send the people back to Mexico. So basically, it's the same thing that's been going on.
Yeah. Well, there was the director was talking about. He got caught on his catch and release policy there for a while.
Yeah.
They catch him and then, we don't have any place to put you, so here
no money.
You go.
Yeah, no jails. Jails are overflowing. There's no money to ship them back to Mexico. Because even the ones that come in, they're not from Mexico. They don't have the money, the funds to actually fly them back.
Why do we have to fly them back? Why can't we just take a
bus? Put them on a boat?
Oh, they're caught.
No. Yeah,
there's buses that
run
everywhere.
South America,
and all military posts have got tons and tons and tons of these cattle moving buses.
Ooh.
I've had to move from post to post in the back of a cattle truck, basically, and there's just enough room for you to stand there and maybe hold on to something.
Really?
So we move our own troops like that. Why can't we move
the people, aliens.
Yeah. I had to do a lot of traveling in those things. Mm. Why can't we move those people? Human rights violation. Well, we do it to our own people, and I didn't have any problems from it.
Yeah. And I like how they're starting to refer to them as aliens, illegal aliens, not illegal immigrants. You know, they're starting to go back to the non-PC version of what they really are. They're illegal aliens, and we got to get a handle on that. You know, and then do some of those at border, build that fence, build that wall or something, and I'd put some kind of a machine gun turrets up there or something. I mean, you got to...
I could go for that.
The Pat Buchanan approach, but I mean, you almost have to do that. You know, I'd put the wall in 6 feet deep and 20 feet high.
You see over there in California where they actually do have a wall. What they're doing with it, they're just climbing it.
Yeah. Well, that's that cheap metal with the they're getting over that wall. You see the one guy shooting up with heroin just on the other side of the wall too, on hand knitting combs. So I don't know. I mean. I don't know.
I like the signs that they have
Janet
there.
Janet Jackson having a secret child, huh? That's more important than all this crap, isn't it?
Oh, wow. That's doesn't it belong in, like, the last page of the newspaper?
I already mentioned it. I just thought I'd throw it out there. Janet Jackson having a child. Yeah. Pop culture it up a little bit.
I actually met their brother.
Tito?
No, Jermaine. I met. It's kind of a funny story. Me and my friend were meeting up with someone we knew that was a personal assistant for Jay Leno. Mm-hmm. And he always runs around and does these, like, a show here and a show there, like, all over the place where they have, like, remotes. And they were following Howie Mandel around at the time. And so we went down there. We went backstage in Howie Mandel's dressing room, right? First thing I get told, don't shake his hand. Don't shake Howie Mandel's hand. Because
he's a weird one, like Trump.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm standing there, and they're like, oh, hey. And so I'm, like, nodding to him, like, hello. I'm nodding at you as a hello, you know. And then there's, like, all these other people kind of standing around in there. And Jermaine actually came right up to me, shook my hand, and said, oh, how are you doing?
Really?
And, you know, and he introduced himself. I had a brain fart. I didn't even think at the time.
Howie Mandel?
This is Jermaine Jackson.
Oh, Jermaine Jackson, yes.
I did not know this, right?
Yeah.
So we're walking through the casino. This is over at the MGM. We're walking through the casino, and we're headed up to have some drinks up in the suite that they had for Howie Mandel.
Hmm.
And we're walking along, and all these people kept stopping him to ask him for his autograph.
Jermaine Jackson? Because he looks like Michael Jackson, huh, doesn't
well,
he?
Well, no, I couldn't remember him from the 80s or anything like that. He looks totally different now. But everybody kept stopping him. And so I look over my buddy Nick, and I'm like, dude, who is this guy? All these people keep asking him for autographs.
Hmm.
And we're kind of standing there after a while. And then one of the fans actually yelled out as they were running to get his autograph, Jermaine Jackson! And it was like, he was the nicest guy in the entire world,
really?
Though. He didn't have like a chip on his shoulder about being famous or anything. Yeah. He came right up and shook my hand.
Really?
And acted just like a normal person.
Wow.
So wherever Michael gets it from that he's so whacked out, obviously it wasn't given to all of the kids.
No, he was the one that was dropped on his head, I think, not the rest of the Jackson.
Well, one sister he has.
But LaToya, she's the whack. Two of them, two of them must have been dropped on their heads, but I don't know. And what else is going on? We have the indictment's coming down tomorrow, and this probably tomorrow, Friday, and this plain mess, and then... and then there's a rumor going around that Cheney's going to resign, and then Bush is going to appoint Condoleezza Rice as the vice president.
Happen.
That's never going to happen. She won't make it. She won't make it. I'm sorry to say that. The country's still, we're still not, you know.
No, she would actually be a very viable candidate for president, but that's only if the Democrats put up a female president.
Hillary.
Republicans probably won't do it first, but she would totally take out Hillary as far as... she's very intelligent.
Really?
She is smart.
I said the country's barely ready for a woman president. I don't know if they're ready for a black woman president.
Well,
what's
really funny about it, though, is it's the Republicans putting forward the black female president.
Exactly.
And the Democrats are putting up the white housewife president. And it's like, wait a second. Isn't this like complete role reversage here?
Yeah.
I wish Powell would run. I really do.
Nah,
I think
he won't.
I know he won't, but I just say he's the one man I think they would cross party lines.
He's watched the games be played too much.
He hates it. He hates it. And there's nobody out there like him. I mean, who's going to run for president in 08? We had no clue. I mean, they sound like Hillary's going to run, but maybe not. She hasn't even announced she's running for re-election in the Senate yet.
Well, that's because she may be running for president.
She may just forget about the Senate and focus on the
presidency. There's people writing books about it already.
Yeah, there's two books out that jackass Dick Morris and who's the other one who wrote a book?
A lady,
Susan Estrich. Yeah, she was Dukakis's campaign manager.
Yeah.
She wrote a book too, and then she was on O'Reilly, and she couldn't make her case.
She couldn't even explain a point of view.
What are
they going to do about the illegal immigrants? What would Hillary do about it? Well, she would do something.
Yeah,
it's like okay, what?
Yeah, who's the other one supposed to talk about running? George Allen, senator from Virginia. I don't know about him. McCain. I guess he would be good, but I think he's gonna be too old. If he gets inaugurated in his first term, he'll be as old as Reagan was in his second term. And he's got the cancer problem. I don't know about McCain. He looks like he's ready to pop every time you see him on TV. It's like he's like nervous energy. I don't know who's out there. I mean, and Hillary. I'm not even sure Hillary can make it through the Democratic primaries. You think about it.
McCain is like standing on the knife edge that Dean fell over. He's got that.
Yeah, he's
that,
teetering.
Yeah, he's got that really energetic. He could do the if he really wanted to.
I think he's done it a few times already. But I mean, I don't know. I mean. Who's out there? Like a third party. Well, who's out there? Ventura blew it when he grew his beard out, looked like a goat, and he went and talked the day he was endorsing Kerry. He had a spokesman. He just ruined it right there. There's nobody out there. I mean, Hagel, Nebraska's senator. I mean, senators have a history of not getting elected president. Usually it's got to be a governor.
Wasn't Kennedy a senator?
About the only one. But I mean, or they say Wesley Clark. I don't know about
Wesley Clark will not get it.
Who else is out there?
Wesley Clark is the one that keeps coming out and saying, we don't need to be over in Iraq, right?
Yeah.
Every single time I see him on Hannity and Combs or on Riley Factor or on what's that guy, Matt, whatever his name is, on CNN? Tim Russert.
Tim Russert.
Yeah, every single time he's on
NBC. Meet the Press.
Sorry.
Yes, Meet the Press.
Every time I see him on any of these shows, all he's doing is a smear campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And he waited until he wasn't going to get promoted anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He left the military, and now he's just on a smear campaign.
Yeah. I don't know.
You
wonder why with our political process, why everybody's, nobody can care less. I mean, everybody's watching Galactica and all this business and all that. I mean, people are just getting sick of it, It's all of us. I mean, I don't know what's it's going to take. It's going to take a third party coming up, but I know. And Michael Badnarik, he was on the first guest on this program. Now he's running for Congress in Texas, so obviously he's not going to. Maybe he will still run for president. He'll be all tied up and running that. He won't run again. Even him, I mean, the libertarians still have that marijuana thing hanging over their heads, even though they didn't advocate that. One of the candidates, went off on a tinge, and then the party's just labeled with that.
Well, libertarians also have some other odd views
that
don't fit mainstream at all. And if they start explaining, if someone actually starts getting any of the amount of like pre-poll votes,
they're gonna
blast them so hard because they've got some really whacked out ideas about some stuff.
Then you got the Reform Party; they're in shambles. They ruined themselves by running Nader for president.
Yeah.
They give the man the nomination because they had ballot access in seven states. The man doesn't even acknowledge the party when he's running on his website. I mean, what the
hell
is that?
He didn't even do it on any of the shows he was on.
Nope.
Any of the press he was getting. He never said a word about him.
And then, who else is out there? I mean, Hagel, like you mentioned Hagel, he sounds like he'd be a pretty good man to be president. I don't know. I mean, he seems pretty, common sense, but I just don't know. And then we have the midterm elections next year, which is going to be a war between the two parties because, you know, the...
Oh, big-time war.
Big-time war because, you know, the both of the parties are limping around, you know, because in this poll from USA Today, the American people are pissed at both of the parties. You know, the Republicans in Congress are disapproved by 58% of the people polled, and the Democrats are 53% disliked.
Yeah,
Bush.
That's the one thing that I really like that USA Today did, that poll that you just brought up right there.
Yeah.
Now, all of these places, like the L.A. Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post, they're all going off about how, oh, this is the worst numbers any sitting president has ever had.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the other side, nobody approves of the other side either. So this is literally the worst standings all of government has ever had in the eyes of the people.
Yeah.
And it's because of all these stupid games.
Scandals and, you know, this thing with Harriet Myers. I mean, yeah, Bush could have made a better case for her, you know, saying, trust me. I mean, you know, he's just had it, I think. He's just staggering. I was watching him today. I'm like, oh, man, that man needs to – he's just worn out. I mean, he's been hit with one thing after another. You know, the man just doesn't I think he can't wait till 08 to get over with so he can get out of there because he is, you know, I hate to be in there, wouldn't you? I mean, think about it. I mean, all these scandals, Cheney and all this. And then we had the story in USA Today about these soldiers. I guess that before you go up to a combat zone to make you write a letter to your family. I mean, some of this
is
really...
Well, they don't make you do it.
No,
most people
suggest.
Most people do it just because it's they every single time you get brought up on... alert readiness. Mm-hmm. You have a readiness checklist.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd go through all the readiness checklist. Do you have all your gear? Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have your living will done? Do you have your insurance taken care of? Did you want more insurance?
Yeah.
Did you want this? Did you want that? You know, all these different things. Who's your next of kin? Did that change since the last time? Did you, like, get in a fight with your mom and now it's your sister? What's going on?
Yeah.
All these different contact numbers and everything. And what they do say at the very end is they say that if you get stuck out in a combat zone, say you're one of the groups that goes out first, and all of a sudden while you're setting up camp or something, somebody throws a grenade in there while you're setting it up. You don't want to be that guy that didn't write a very heartfelt letter to his family about how much you loved them and everything before you went.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And that's why they say, hey, and it's usually one of the pastors, it's usually one of the priests, one of I can't even remember what they called them anymore.
The fathers?
There's a specific word for it, but I can't remember what it was. But they were usually the ones that came in during that readiness checklist and said, this is something you might want to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also in USA Today, they have this map of where all the fallen have come from. Of course, 2,000 people, that's a lot. But, most of the victims, the dead from Iraq, have come from Los Angeles. It's got a heavy, a lot of between 12 and 33 soldiers that died in L.A. Originate from Los Angeles. Texas has got 1, 2, 3 areas there. I mean, it's amazing. It is spread all across the country.
Biggest areas, though, are right there in where we basically have all of our, you know, crops and everything growing.
Yeah.
It's all the farmland and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. Now, what about Rosa Parks? Now, I mean, she's really, I mean, you know, as much as people say about King and all that BS and Jesse Jackson, I think Rosa Parks is when she triggered the whole civil rights movement, because if she didn't, you know, say...
I don't even know if she was sitting here right now, if she'd say she did it on purpose to trigger that. She probably just got fed up.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Good
Everybody
for her.
Should do that.
Absolutely.
That's your rights. That's what you're supposed to be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, she's lucky they didn't grab her and throw her off the bus physically. I mean, back then, you know, you'd be surprised somebody would have beat the hell out of her on that bus. But, I mean, you know, I think, really, she deserves more credit than if she didn't do what she did. King wouldn't have done what he did, and Jesse certainly...
Okay, Jesse Jackson should be in jail.
Al
Sharpton should be in jail. What they did to the MGM casino by shaking them down for $4 million for a donation to the Rainbow Push Coalition, and then they just left them alone.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, you don't have enough minority anything. So we're gonna march, we're going to protest, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then all of a sudden MGM goes, oh, here's $4 million to your Rainbow Push Coalition.
Yeah. Oh, we'll
and,
go
and
away
Jesse's
now.
Like, oh, you know what? There's a potato famine in Idaho, you know?
Well, yeah, I just mean, you know, everybody says civil rights movement. I'm just saying she deserves more credit than the other two.
Yeah.
You know, and
she was doing it because she was standing up for her rights. She wasn't doing it to be in the limelight,
exactly,
to make money.
Yeah, we never heard
nothing
from her ever since. You know,
no.
She wasn't hogging up the limelight. She wasn't popping up on TV.
Most people didn't even realize she was
who
still
she
alive.
Was. Yeah, a lot of people thought she was dead. I mean, the last thing I remember her from was she was at some kind of house. The Hastert was with her doing something. And then there was some to-do with her at her church or something in Detroit. I remember that going down. So, I mean, you know, God rest her soul. And she was someone that actually will live on forever, I think, in the history and the annals of American history, I think.
Oh,
so,
big time.
You know, her family should be just lucky that they had somebody like her in her family. And
those are
the
people
us,
I hand it to for
yes,
changing the United
yes,
States.
Yes.
All
yes
these people that stand up on little pulpits and,
yes,
and spout BS but then ask you for your money or
that's right. Isn't
losers.
Isn't Jimmy Diggs, LV Rox's Rosa Parks?
A lot of times, yeah. Especially when the Cubs.
No, I mean, she is a pioneer in civil rights movement. Diggs is a pioneer in the internet.
Oh,
radio
I thought you were talking
movement
about getting up on soapboxes.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know about soapbox, but I mean, I just yeah. I give him a little compliment there. He's not even listening to the damn
no,
show.
He's not.
He fell asleep 10 minutes after I started. So we got 1 minute left to the program. It's very professional. And where are the girls? Where well, girls? Girl? Where's Amber and her her nest of vipers?
Know.
You know. Anyway, next week would be Colin Bazell, the author of the book My War. He'll talk about his tour of duty in Iraq. And hopefully look forward to talking to him. And I think Dan Real from the Real World View will be on next week. And we'll see about arranging up this Glenn Roberts guy here in Cuba. So, and don't forget, tomorrow is the big premiere of Rebel Poetry, a Spoken Word, on LVRocks.com. If you want to hear some poetry, here on LVRocks. Up next is something. I don't know what it will be. Wild Women in Vegas or just some music. We'll find out. Friday is Spankwagon. And good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.